Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning. This wonderful morning, this great morning, this awesome morning. I think I'm getting it all in. I'm grateful. You know how God will give you a breakthrough. I needed a breakthrough. For those that have been listening with me and being with me for years know, today would have been my 43rd wedding anniversary had my husband lived. But my husband has passed on. And just this blessing that God has given me is little white feathers. Yesterday I had to work this mini note because we had an early show. So for those that came on at 7 on yesterday, I apologize. Because if you were not on the day before, you did not hear the announcement that we were an hour early on yesterday because I had to be at work early yesterday. But as I was cleaning at my client's house and, you know, doing what I do, which is take care of seniors in their home, my after-retirement job that I thought I was, retired. I was going to lay back, travel, do all those things. And then God will send a prophetess, and he sent a prophetess to me that said that God wanted me to work at this particular company. And, you know, because she had been talking to me way before, and I kind of ignored it because I was enjoying retirement. And then she called me again and said, God spoke to me that you need to take this job. I don't know if I've ever spoken about it before, but one of the edits of the company I work for is to honor God in all we do. And when I saw that on this wall, when I walked through the doors to interview for this job, I knew it was the place for me. But I also know that everything is for a season, and I don't know how long God's going to keep me in this position doing what I do. But while I'm here, I'm going to do my very best. But my late husband started sending me white feathers, and it started on Mother's Day in 2011, so it's been 10 years, Mother's Day, that I get feathers. It's just a little white feather. It could be a bigger feather. It could be a small feather. It could be a feather in the sky. And I've been getting sky feathers. Like, I got one last week, and I got a real feather last night. Always a reminder. And what God showed me on last night was, I remind you that absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. You know, I used to go through serious depression and pity parties and why me? And then God had to tell me off one day and said, why not you? Why not you? We get so caught up in ourself and selfishness that we don't think that somebody else may be going through what you're going through. But what your job is as pastors and ministers and teachers is to lift up, not tear down, to show that God is good. Because sometimes the only God they see is you. God tore me up, and I had a breakthrough. I went to a meeting one night, and my soul wasn't right. Something got a hold of me. And I can tell you, something got a hold of me. Prayer on Tuesday, and I had a breakthrough. I had a breakthrough that you can't wallow in self-pity. You can't just sit back and always complain and why me? Why not you? God beat me up with why not you? David had to go through a why not you moment. Peter is going through a why not you moment. We all go through it. Our why nots may not be the same. But we have to understand that you're going to go through to get through, because how else do you grow? Just think this through. I remember my late boss used to love to put this in his speeches, and it was the story of the butterfly and how when a butterfly is in a cocoon and you see it struggling to get out, you see it morphing, getting ready to turn, and you see it struggling and doing what it's doing, and you want to open it up and open it. But if you open it, the butterfly will not be a butterfly. It will not be able to fly, because the struggle to get through the cocoon, the struggle to get to becoming, is what makes it a butterfly. Just like when our children are born and they fight their way through the birth canal, they come through. And some children don't come through. They just are pulled up, pulled out. My kids are C-section babies. One was because of emergency, and one was because I didn't have a choice, because he didn't have any more space. And so he was my gift from God. He was born on my birthday. So I'm grateful for the blessings that God has given me. And God had to show me, all your blessings come from me. I called you, but I had to send you through something, because just like a butterfly, you had to grow. You had to go through to go where I needed you to go. So I had to go through. I had to go through the loss of my husband, the loss of my mother-in-law. I had to go through the loss of my parents. You know, we go through losses because they help us grow. Because if you are a believer, you know that the word of God is true. And if we as believers stand on the word of God, we know absent from this body, this physical form we have, is in the presence of the Lord. I want to one day be in the presence of the Lord, because I know I want to sit at his feet. I want to feel his presence. And the only way you feel the presence and see the magnificence of God, is not to be in this body. Because no man has seen the Father, only the Son. So I thank God today. What would have been 43 years, and I thought about that when I had my breakthrough, because numbers, biblical numbers are just, they stick out in my mind. I was married for 32 years. 3 plus 2 is grace. God said, I gave you grace. And then today would have been my 43rd anniversary. And then as I thought about it, 4 plus 3 equals 7. And God is saying, complete. You have come through your storms. You have come through that cocoon. And now you're ready to soar and be a butterfly. You're ready to soar and be who I called you to be, a pastor, a minister, a teacher, to preach the gospel without the baggage of unholy grief. Because I used to go through it. But I tell you this, today I feel good, because I know that my journey is complete, that I can think about my late husband and not bust into tears, that I can move forward in the word of God with a lighter step and not feeling like I'm not quite there yet. Call. And when you're called, you got to accept. And if you don't accept, understand you're going to go through. And if you half accept, you're going to go through. So I thank God for my breakthrough. I thank God for those prayer warriors that prayed over me, that spoke over me, the prophets and prophetess that spoke to me, the real ones, not the liars. And God will show you the prophet liars too. But I thank God for the word, why not you? And, you know, the word this morning that God gave me is because I am a Tennessee. I don't eat pork, and I don't eat it for other reasons besides biblical reasons. It's a fast that I've been on for several years. The manifestation of what I'm fasting for hasn't come to pass yet. So I continue my pork fast. I don't eat it because I'm fasting from it. And it's been a long time. And I tell you something, family, this sister loves bacon. I do. I would be a baconator if I had not had to go this fast. And I tell you now, even the smell, I was like, Lord, I can't just like for a minute, you know. But when God puts you on a fast, you got to stay on it until God releases you. And I'm not released yet. But I tell you, so when we get to this part, this is for all my folks out there that's like, well, I don't need bacon. I don't need pork because I'm a this, I'm a that, you know. I don't eat it because I want to fast from it. And as I continue in my prayer and fasting for what I know will be a manifestation, all I can say is I will know when it's time that I can have a piece of bacon. Because there's no such thing as unclean, which we will get to today in our word. But I just wanted to shout out my late husband, Richmond Jeffrey Smith Sr., and my mother-in-law, Anna L. Smith. I'll call her mama. Today would have been my mother-in-law's 93rd birthday. And so I say to her for allowing your son to be my husband for those years, and to allow us to marry on your birthday. So I thank God for that, and I thank God for the life I've had and the life I have. So I say to you today, don't allow unholy grief to bring you down into the pits of despair, because it will. Because the enemy will use, as Paul said, that thorn in your side, my thorn is grief. And he throws it at me every chance he gets. But today I can say I'm good. I'm great. And I tell you today, let God use you for whatever purpose he has for you. Walk in it. Don't allow the enemy to take you down that road, because he wants you to become the best butterfly you can be. So you're going to go through. You're going to have to work your way and fight your way through that cocoon, whether your cocoon is addiction, whether your cocoon is despair, whether your cocoon is unbelief and unforgiveness. We got to forgive. And I tell you, it's hard to forgive those that hurt you. But that is what God wants us to do, forgive. Because when you forgive, a weight comes off of your shoulders. Your mind gets clear. Your hope in a future gets brighter. Forgive. So, Father God, today, we come to you with forgiveness in our heart, with love, with peace, with joy, because you, Lord God, are that love. You, Lord God, are that joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, you are our strength and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? No one. Father God, we will be strong and courageous. We will walk in light and not in darkness. Father God, I ask you as I read your word to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For as I say, Lord God, you are my strength. And I thank you for redeeming me from the wells and the wiles of the enemy, who, like the sneaky snake that he is, slithers in to try to bring despair and the what ifs and the whys and all those things. Lord, I rebuke and send them right back to the pits of hell from whence they came. For I know who I am. I am yours and you are mine. And I thank you this day. I thank you for the peace that I have this day. I thank you for the joy that I have this day because you gave it to me, unspeakable joy. And I thank you, Father God, for waking me up this morning with a word in my heart, peace, with hope. Thank you for completing my journey, Lord, through my cocoon so that I can be a butterfly and soar for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanking God this morning. So let's get in a word, and it is a good word. It's always a good word. And our title for the day, for those that need a title, will be coming out of our New Testament word. And we're going to be talking about the word that God gave us. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Hallelujah. That was for Peter, and that's for us. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. So let's get in our word, and we're going to have a whole lot of David and his trials and tribulations, his family, and the names of everybody. So I'm just going to say it up front. Forgive me, my theologians, if I pronounce a name wrong. Put it to my head and not my heart. For I know that God is with me, but I may pronounce the name wrong because I still cannot get rid of Kentucky as much as I've tried to be an Illinoisan. Kentucky still comes out, and there's just some words I have a hard time pronouncing. And when I get all kind of discombobulated, you'll hear my southern accent come out. But understand, it's because I'm not trying. Because I do try to pronounce some of these names, but they just don't come out right. So, again, head and heart. And let's get started in the Word of God. For those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I will tell anybody and everybody, if opportunity presents itself, get this Bible. It is awesome. You will go from Genesis to Revelation. In 1 year, you will have read the entire Bible. And if you join us on a daily basis for Moving Forward, you will have read the Bible or listened to the reading of the Bible in 1 year. So that's our goal. God willing, December 31st, we will end this word. This Charles Stanley, this biblical principles before leaving earth, this biblical instruction before leaving earth with the word, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that will be our word at the end of the year. That's how we will end this year, God willing. So let's get started. I am coming out of 1 Chronicles chapter 26. To chapter 27, verse 34. I will be also coming out of Psalm 78, verses 56 through 66, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4 through 5, and Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 23. And for those that are also just joining us for the first time, when I say life principles, life lessons, life examples, life questions, those are from Dr. Stanley, and it is to enhance the word and the understanding of the word that we are reading. So thank you so much. Again, let's get started. Concerning the divisions of the gatekeepers of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, the son of Kir, of the sons of Asaph, and the sons of Meshelemiah, were Zechariah the firstborn, Jadiel the second, Zedekiah the third, Jethaniah the fourth, Elam the fifth, and Johanan the sixth, Elohanai the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sikar the fourth, Nethanel the fifth, Amaniel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Pultai the eighth, and for God blessed him. Also for Shemaiah the son were sons born who governed their father's houses, because they were men of great ability. The sons of Shemaiah were Othani, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers Elihu and Shemichai were able men. All these were the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men with strength for the work. 62 of Obed-Edom. And Meshamiah had sons and brethren, 18 able men. Also Hosea of the children of Merari had sons. Shimri the first, for though he was not the firstborn, his father made him the first. Helikai the second, Tebethelai the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brethren of Hosea were 13. Among these were the divisions of the gatekeepers, among the chief men, having cities just like their brethren, to serve in the house of the Lord, and they cast lots for each gate, the small as well as the great, according to their father's houses. The lot for the east gate fell to Shelemiah. Then they cast lots for the sons of Zechariah, a wise counselor, and his lot came out for the north gate, to Obed-Edom, the south gate, and to his sons, the storehouse, to Shuppim. And Hosea, the lot came out for the west gate, with the Shelekes gate on the ascending highway. Watchmen, opposite watchmen. On the east were 6 Levites, on the north 4 each day, on the south 4 each day, and for the household 2 by 2. As for the parbar, on the west there were 4 on the highway and 2 at the parbar. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers among the sons of Korah, among the sons of Merari. Of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and over the treasuries of the dedicated things. The sons of Ladan, the descendants of the Gershonites, of Ladan, heads of their house, father's houses, Ladan, the Gershonite, Jaalai, the sons of Jaalai, Jetham, and Joel, his brother, were over the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites, the Izrahites, and the Hebronites, and the Ulalites, Shibbol, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was overseer of the treasuries, and his brother by Elizah was Rehabah, the son, Jeshahiah, his son, Jerem, his son, Zechariah, his son, and Shelemite, his son. This Shelemite and his brother were over all the treasuries of the dedicated things, which King David and the heads of fathers' houses and the captains over thousands and hundreds and the captains of the army had dedicated. Some of the spoils won in war they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer, Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, Joab the son of Zeruiah, had dedicated, every dedicated thing was under the hand of Shelemites and his brethren. Of the Ezraites, Shenaniah and his sons performed duties as officials and judges over Israel outside Jerusalem. Of the Hebronites, Heshbai and his son and his brother were 1,700 able men. Were 1,700 able men. Had the oversight of Israel on the west side of the Jordan for all the business of the Lord and in the service of the king among the Hebronites. Jeriah was head of the Hebronites, according to his genealogy of the fathers. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought, and there were found among them capable men as Jezer of Gilead and his brother were 2,700 able men, heads of houses, father's houses among King David, made officials over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh for every matter pertaining to God and the offers and the affairs of the king. Chapter 27 of 1 Chronicles. And again, if you want to just sum up this Old Testament word, it is assignments. Summing it up, it's about assignments. We each have an assignment from God, and that is what we do. Whatever your assignment is, do your assignment. If your assignment is to write, write. If your assignment is to give knowledge, give knowledge. Whatever God has called you to do, do it. Because we all have an assignment from God. If you are organized, then help somebody organize whatever it is they need to do. If you have a gift of numbers, then work for your church in the treasury. Work for your church in whatever capacity God calls you to work in. Whatever you have, whatever your gift, use your gift for God's kingdom. Because we all have an assignment. And let's continue in our word this morning as we continue the assignments of all the sons of Levi. And it says, and the children of Israel, according to their number, the heads of fathers' houses, the captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers served the king in every manner of the military divisions. These divisions came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, each division having 24,000. Over the first division for the first month was Joash, the son of Zebedeo. And in this division were 24,000. He was of the children of Perez, and the chief of all the captains of the army of the first month. Over the divisions of the second month was Dodai and Ohite, and of his division, Miklot also was the leader. In his division were 24,000. The third captain of the army for the third month was Benaniah, the son of Joada. The priest who was chief in his division were 24,000. And you know how the numbers, you know, either 24 or 40 or 12, those seem to be major numbers with God. And as we continue, it says this, this was the Benaniah who was mighty among the 30 and was over the 30. In his division was Amizabad, his son. The fourth captain for the fourth month was Eshel, the brother of Joab, and Zebadiah, his son, after him. In his division were 24,000. The fifth captain for the fifth month was Shammah, the Ezraite. In his division were 24,000. The sixth captain for the sixth month was Ira, the son of Ikish. In his division were 24,000. The seventh captain for the seventh month was Elez, the Philonite of the children of Ephraim. In his division were 24,000. The eighth captain for the eighth month was Shebachai, the Heshahite of the Zerahites. In his division were 24,000. The ninth captain for the ninth month was Ebezer of the Anahites of the Benjamites. In his division were 24,000. Y'all catching that 24,000 in there? The 10th captain for the 10th month was Mahari of the Netophonites of the Zerahites. In his division were 24,000. The 11th captain for the 11th month was Benaniah of the Piratonites of the children of Ephraim. In his division were 24,000. The 12th captain for the 12th month was Hadiah, the Netophonite of Ethanel, and his division was 24,000. Furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the officer over the Reubenites was Elizur, the son of Zachari. Over the Simeonites was Shephatite, the son of Mekai. Over the Levites, Heshbah, the son of Kamol. Over the Aaronites, Zadok. Over Judah, Elihu. Over David's, one of David's brothers. over Issachar, Amari, the son of Michael, over Zebulun, Ishmael, the son of Obadiah, over Naphtali, Jeremoth, the son of Ezrael, over the children of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Azirah, over the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, the son of Pidai, over the half-tribe of Manasseh, Gilead, Edo, the son of Zechariah, over Benjamin, Jesel, the son of Abner, over Dan, Azarel, the son of Joram. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. But David did not take the number of those 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would multiply Israel like the stars of the heaven. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, began a census, but he did not finish, for wrath came upon Israel because of this census, which we read about a few days ago. And David had to repent. And God sent a three-day plague. And the angel of the Lord was killing folks left and right. Over 70,000 folks died because of this census. So we got to follow whatever God tells you to do, do. Because you don't want to get your behind tore up by the Lord. I just tell you now. Because God don't play. And as we continue, it says this, and Ezemaret, the son of Adel, was over the king's treasuries. Johanathan, the son of Uzziah, was over the storehouses in the field, and the cities, and the villages, and the fortresses. Ezra, the son of Chelub, was over those who did the work of the field for tilling the ground. And Shammai, the Ramanite, was over the vineyards. And Zebdi, a Shephamite, was over the produce of the vineyards for the supply of wine. Baal-Hanan, the Gittite, was over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the lowlands. And Joash was over the store of oil. And Shetrel, the Sharonite, was over the herds that fed in Sharon. And Shephet, the son of Adai, was over the herds that were in the valleys. Obel, the Ishmaelite, was over the camels. Jadiah, the Maronite, was over the donkeys. And Jezi, the Hagarite, was over the flocks. All these were the officials over King David's property. Also, Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Joel, the son of Hechmoni, was with the king's son. Ephatophel was the king's counselor, and Heshai, the Archite, was the king's companion. After Ephatophel was Jordana, the son of Benaniah, then Abathar, and the general of the king's army was Joab. Everybody had an assignment, just as we all have an assignment. And as we continue, Psalm 78, 56 to 66, yet they tested and provoked the Most High God. This is a history lesson in this psalm. And did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them into perpetual reproach. And our proverb for this morning is this, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4 through 5. The lazy man will not plow because of winter, beg during harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And this is our life lesson from Dr. Stanley for chapter 20, verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Slothfulness has consequences. The person who doesn't bother to get ready won't be prepared for the situation that come along. This is especially true in our spiritual life. We must spend time with the Lord daily. Or when trouble comes along, we won't be prepared for them and will react badly. However, if we're consistent about our time with God, we'll react in a godly manner to all our circumstances, no matter what they are. Wow. That was a word for me because I know I have acted hastily and not thought it through. So I thank God for Dr. Stanley, and I thank God for us being together for this daily word. You know, if all the words you get is this word every day, you're getting a word and you're meditating on it day and night. Meditate on this word. You know, write down the scriptures I give you so that you can go back and read them again when God puts them in your heart. This is so important to know the word of God because that's the only way we can fight. That is the only thing we have to use as our sword is this word of God. This is what we stand on. This is what we fight with. This is what we use to fight the wiles of the enemy because he will come at you and he will come at you hard and heavy. And, you know, my pastor always tells us, he comes before or after a move of God. And I know that is the truth because he always does it. He's predictable. He comes before or he comes after. And I'm aware now more than ever that I will probably be attacked because I had a move of God. I had a breakthrough. And I'm sure he is going to try his best to pick at me today. But the devil is a lie, and there ain't no truth in his old stinky self. We got to stand up and say, not today. Not today. And that's how you got to start spending your day. When he comes at you, you say, Lord God, you said in your word you would put up a flood and a standard around me. I'm expecting my flood. I know the flood is coming. Put a standard around me, Lord. We got to ask God for that dam to protect us from the waters that rise because the enemy is going to try to drown you. But we got to fight the fight of faith. That some of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, we got to start speaking and telling our problems about our God. Whatever your problem is, tell it about your God. Whatever it is, tell your problem about your God. Because your God is stronger than any problem, than anything the enemy is going to throw at you. Because he knows your vulnerability. He knows that thorn, that what to poke at you. But you know what? We got to stand strong because we are mighty men and women of God. And we got to let the enemy know, not today. Not today. I don't like to say, get behind me, Satan, because I'm not Jesus. Who can say that because he's stronger? I say, get in front of me so I can kick you behind. As you walk, I can stomp on you and put you under my feet. I want to see you because you are not worth the time or the energy to get angry, to get upset because I put you in God's hands, devil. Leave me alone. And we got to start speaking that. When the enemy comes at you, not today. That's got to be our word. Not today. I am a child of God, and my Father God is with me. So you don't have to worry about it because you know your daddy's walking with you. You know how little girls, how there's nothing like your daddy's hand when you little, and you got to walk across the street. You put your hand in your dad's hand, and he walks you across the street. You know, I am grateful for my mother giving me parents. I am thankful for Lillian and Henry Anderson, my great-great-aunt. I am thankful for my great-aunt and my great-great-aunt and uncle for raising me, for loving me, for treating me as their own. I am grateful. And I'm thankful to my mom for knowing what was best for me. I am thankful. I am grateful and I am blessed that my mother is still here and I can do things with her. She is the best traveling companion you could ever have. You know, I love my mom and me travel days and times we get together and go on trips or just do stuff. I love my mother, and I'm grateful that I was raised well and in the house of the God, of God. I was raised in the house of God. My parents took me to church. They didn't just send me. My dad was an usher. My mother was over the Missionary Society as well as sung in the choir. And when she got sick, I took her robe and I stood in her stead. I started singing in the senior choir at 17 years old. And my mother, because she couldn't sing anymore. But I thank God for all the women of Paducah, Kentucky. Y'all know who you are. I thank God for you. For those satellite ladies, as my husband calls it, the Paducah ladies, I thank y'all for being the village that raised me to be strong and courageous, because that's what God wants us to be. And he made you that way, and you made me that way. It takes a village, family. So whatever you are, be somebody's village. Because you don't know where you are needed. Let's get finished with our word this morning, because I don't want to run out of time, because our main word is coming up, and it is this. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 23, and it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and a let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed you must not call common. This was done three times. And we all know that's Peter's number three. When he denied Jesus three times before that rooster crowed. When Jesus called him into ministry, to call him to be that rock and that foundation of the church, he said to feed his sheep, feed his lambs, to feed his flock. Do you love me? Three times. And Peter said, yes, Lord. So Jesus was calling him. He told him three times, asked him three times if he loved him, told him to feed his sheep, feed his flock, feed his lambs, to basically be a shepherd. Three times. And now here, the Lord spoke to him. What? Three times. What did he say? And the voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by the holy angel, by a holy angel, to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And a quick word from Dr. Stanley on this lesson this morning. And it says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. God was addressing Peter's prejudice against Gentile believers. However, it's a message to us as well. We should never look down upon anyone God has saved, whether it is because of their race, economic status, or any other factor. As Philippians 2 and 3 instructs, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You know, as I spoke about food and pork in particular, you know, we have a tendency as men and women of God to look down on folks. Because I don't eat pork. Who am I to look down at somebody who does? And say, they know that's not, you know, you ain't supposed to be eating it as I'm putting that piece of shrimp in my mouth. Come on now. As they say, take that plank out of your eye. As you're trying to talk about somebody else's speck. But the one thing that this word is about is prejudice. We as Christians can be some of the most hateful folks out there, and I'm just going to call it straight. We get so heavenly minded, we are no earthly good. A man that don't work don't eat. As we look at someone who's homeless, get off of that high horse. Because there by God's grace go any one of us. We got to love our neighbor as ourselves, because that's all Jesus asked, to love God and to love each other. So first and second greatest commandments, love God, love each other. And I'm paraphrasing it down. Love God, love each other. And at the very top, you can't worship anything but God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is what the word of God tells us. We can't put everything, because sometimes you can put so much above God that he will remove it. People, places, and things, God has been known to take away because you put them above him. We can't do that. And again, Philippians 2 and 3 instructs, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. But Peter had a prejudice against the Gentiles. Because understand, that was Paul's assignment. Peter was for the Jews. That was his assignment, for the Jews. But because he was the foundation, he had to know, he had to love everybody. God's going to work on Peter again. Again, getting him through that cocoon to become a butterfly. And as we go to this next word, 10:20, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Have you ever noticed that God tends to guide us in stages? He rarely, if ever, gives us a roadmap to follow. Instead, he asks us to take his hand and go where he goes without doubting our final destination. And that is so very true. Like I said, when I got called into ministry, it was because of my husband's death. And the ministry God gave me as director and creator, co-creator actually, was W Faith Ministry. And I tell you, it was because I birthed it through grief, through pain. But as we move forward, our conference this year, for those that are listening, we are going into our 10th year conference. And, wow, that's all I can say. Ninth year. It's going to be good, yo. It's going to be really, really good. And our title, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to serve God. And God will birth that vision. He will birth what you need. And I'm praying daily for birthing because I'm starting something else for me to do. He's got another assignment. And I ask God to guide me and lead me and show me the way. So as we continue in this walk and in this way, this is a life principle. And then we will be wrapping it up this morning, y'all. It is this. To whom do you turn for daily guidance on how to live, what to do, where to go, whom to see, how to make a decision, how to make decisions, plural. The scripture tells us that the only God worth trusting is the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who knows our past completely from the moment we were conceived to the present and who also knows our future from this day to eternity. Only he fully knows the Father's plan and purpose for us today and for each day of our lives. Only the Holy Spirit knows what is fully good and right for you. Any other opinion can reflect only part of the full truth, which the Holy Spirit knows completely. Jesus repeatedly referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Note what he said about the Holy Spirit's activity in your life. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. John 16:13, if you want to read that in context. The Spirit of Truth is like an inner compass in our lives, always pointing us toward what Jesus would be, say, or do in any given moment. God desires to make his will known to you. He wants you to know what to do, when to do it. Trust the Holy Spirit to be your daily guide. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus guided every day by the Holy Spirit. After God poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples, they too found themselves led in profound ways. The verses below give a few examples of how the Holy Spirit dealt with his people in ways that provided very personal and specific guidance. What he did for them then, he desires to do for you today. The Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Acts 11:12. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Acts 13:2. We're going to be getting to that. Because again, they are ministers for the Gentiles. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Acts 16:6. We'll be getting to that. The leaders of the early church relied on the Holy Spirit to give them this kind of specific personal guidance, and we are wise to do likewise. Both Romans 8:14 and the Galatians 5:18 refer to our being led by the Spirit, the norm of the Christian life. You may ask, are there any conditions placed upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Yes. First, we must stay yielded to the Spirit. We must say yes to the Spirit. When he prompts us to take a certain action or say a certain word, we must give mental accent to the Spirit's direction. And then we must actually obey his prompting and follow through by doing or saying what he has called us to do or say. You know, when somebody speaks to you and they say, "I just feel I need to tell you this word," that is because it's coming from the Holy Spirit. We should not walk in our own thing. We must walk in the spirit. And it goes on to tell us, the spirit often speaks to us in the stillness of our hearts with a word of conviction or assurance. When the Holy Spirit is directing us away from something harmful, we very often have a heaviness or a feeling of trouble, foreboding, or uneasiness in our spirits. When the Holy Spirit is directing us toward helpful things, we tend to feel a deep inner peace, an eagerness to see what God will do, and a feeling of joy. How can you know if you are yielded in the Holy Spirit? You are yielded to Him when you say, here is what I desire. But if your answer is this, no, it's all right, I'll do what you say. Second, we must believe for His guidance. We are much more likely to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us if we are actively listening for Him to speak. We are much more likely to see the Holy Spirit's direction if we're looking for His signs. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We ought to be diligent in seeking His guidance, asking for it, watching for it, anticipating it, and receiving it. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal the truth to us. He has come in His all-knowing ability to impart to us what we need to know to live obedient and faithful lives. Trust Him to guide you now and always. And that is our word this morning. And as always, before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Yesterday, we were a little too early to get our Sister Carolyn word. So yesterday's word was this. Good morning. It is absolutely impossible to worry and live in peace at the same time. Choose peace. I don't know who that was for, but I can tell you, it is for us all to choose peace. And our word for today is this. Don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. And as Sister Carolyn says, and as I said to you, have a transforming Thursday, family. Thanking God daily for everything you have. Everything God has for you is for you, and can't nobody stop it, diminish it, or take it away. Because God's blessings for His children are irrevocable. And I say to you today, as my husband and I prayed every night before he went to work, because my husband, as many know, was a state policeman. And we never knew from day to day that if he would come back home the next day. Because I just saw where there are some that don't make it. But he did. For all his whole career, he made it home every night because we prayed. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a great and blessed day. Remember, as Sister Carolyn said, don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. Have a transforming Thursday, family. God is good and greatly to be praised. Give God your best praise today. Have a smile on your face. Put a pep in your step and tell the devil, I'm not dealing with you today. As a lady, I read a shirt one day. I was in Sam's Club, and it said, not today, Satan. So I say to you all today, tell the devil, not today, Satan. I'm going to have a good day and have your best day ever. Enjoy your day, family. Enjoy the joy of the Lord is your strength, and know it, believe it, and trust God. It is a wrap, y'all, because what? It's time to go to work. So let's go to work for God. Let God see your best praise. Let God see your great day. Know that it is all good because God says it's good. And again, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. God has cleansed us. We are not common. We are sons and daughters of God because we've been cleansed by the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. It is what? It's a wrap. Goodbye, y'all. Time to go to work. Love you. Have a blessed day.